All right, go ahead, Irma.
Okay. Welcome everyone to the steering committee meeting. We are going to start with introductions. Why don't we start with Chuck?
Chuck Adams, co-chair Council Affairs.
Ron?
Hi everybody. My name is Ron Hernandez and I'm the co-chair for the committee, the membership committee.
Richard?
Hi everyone, Richard Sullivan, Council Co-Chair, Community Engagement Co-Chair.
Thomas, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure, Thomas Noble, government co-chair. I'm also off today, so that's hence why I'm in the car, but couldn't afford an absence, so I came
Couldn't
here.
We couldn't hear you. Okay, Kira?
Kira, council staff.
Kat?
Kat Kutchker, council staff.
And Irma Parada, council co-chair. And oh, Zachary has joined us. Do you want to introduce yourself, Zachary?
Hi, Zachary Davenport, Council Co-Chair. Sorry, I'm late.
We don't have.
Hi, this is Bill. I'm also joining from DPH.
Agenda.
Sorry, guys. I think my screen's a little frozen. I can go ahead and share that agenda, I think is what I heard.
No, I think the one that's frozen
Okay.
is Irma.
We got
Oh, there
frozen
we go.
suddenly.
There we go.
All right. So we have our regular items on the agenda for today, reviewing and approving the agenda as well as the minutes. Then we'll go ahead and hear from the committees. And then I'll go over the meeting evaluation, and Mark should be here to go over the full council agenda. And he'll also be going over the bylaws and PMP review. And that'll lead us to the end of the meeting.
Perfect. Any add-ons or changes to the agenda? Hearing none, we'll approve it by consensus. Now we're going to review and approve March 20th draft minutes. Great. Thank you for sharing, Kira. Any changes or additions to the draft minutes? Hearing none, we'll approve it by consensus. Does anyone have any announcements? No announcements? There's Mark. Mark, do you have any announcements? We're
I
ready.
do
No?
not.
Okay. Thank you. Any public comment? But we don't have anyone from the public. So we're going to move to work group reports, community engagement committee update.
Thanks, Irma. I'm ready with community engagement. We met on the 2nd, and it was a pretty straightforward meeting. As usual, we started off, Stephen Spanos gave us a couple of updates, several on some casework that HCAP is doing. He started with a client that had some mental health issues. Seems there was a long wait time to connect to mental health services, and then the client kind of went off the radar. It boiled down to there. It ended up being a 3 to 4 month wait time for this client to see someone. And Stephen was currently working on that when he shared with us. Another issue he shared with us was a communication misunderstanding about housing issues. It seems that the service provider took a protracted time out of the office without letting anyone know, or the client misunderstood. They patched things up. HCAP got them together, and the relationship was repaired. And then Stephen shared about there was a housing eligibility issue. The ruling at this 72 hours incarceration in the last 2 years to qualify for this housing. I've heard of that before. And so, and they couldn't find that the client had been incarcerated for over 72 hours in that period, but paperwork was kind of in limbo. HCAP got a letter of confirmation, and the client was then housed. So that was it for HCAP. We went over the needs assessment. I believe Kara can help me out here if I'm missing anything, but it's people living with HIV 65 years and older. I think there's a questionnaire that has been prepared, draft survey, and they're beginning to do outreach. Well, yeah, outreach is beginning on that. And then for COLA, that's youth with living with HIV, and there really wasn't much going on with that as of this time. So like I said, Kira, you can add to anything like that, but that's the community engagement report for this month.
Any questions for Richard? Thank you, Richard. Council Affairs Committee update.
Yeah, that's me. Well, we met and the lead Jewel showed up for the CARE Coalition and it's going to give a federal update. Basically what happened was Lee was there and he was asking questions about what was needed to be heard and how he's going to do it. And so it was a pretty decent discussion. And I think the presentation will bring up a lot of questions. And that was about all we did.
Any questions for Chuck? Thank you for your report, Chuck. Membership committee update, I'm assuming it's Ron.
Yes, thank you, Irma. We met Thursday last week. We have two letters of probation that were sent out to two individuals. We're hoping that they're going to touch base with us and rejoin us. We have also two leaves of absences. Elise Griffin and Nali has asked to have some time off. And we also have an interview next month with, I believe their name is Nikos, and we're looking at someone who is affiliated, but also consumer. So we will be meeting next month in person. And what makes it exciting is I think that the location we're planning to meet, if you hadn't got the email yet, is at 27 Maiden Lane, Suite 400. That's at the new Shanti office space. That's going to be on May 8th at 3 o'clock. So if you guys could join us, that would be wonderful. It'd be fun to be there in that space. Any questions? Anyone? Anything to say about me?
Thank you, right. Ron, for your report.
Thank you. Nice bumping into you at Safeway last week, Ron.
It was good. Yeah, wonderful. Off the record, it was great. Yeah.
Bill came on board after we actually introduced ourselves, and I don't know if Bill has any announcements that he wants to talk about.
He might be frozen.
Yeah, I think so. Well, we're going to get back to you, Bill.
Yeah, that's like suspended animation. That's beyond frozen.
Yeah, totally. All right. So moving on to meeting evaluation, and I'm assuming it's going to be presented by Kira, actually.
Yeah, I can go ahead and take that. Just give me 1 second, and I'll go ahead and share my screen. All right, can folks see that?
Yes, we can see it.
All right, perfect. So this was the meeting evaluation for March's full council. And we did have 20 council members present and we had a total of 12 surveys returned. So pretty okay. And I'll go ahead and get started. First question was, the information received prior to the meeting adequately prepared me for the meeting. Everyone agreed with that. The meeting was run efficiently by Thomas Noble. And we had everyone agree with that as well. We had three comments here. Well done, Thomas. Great job. Thomas is great. I don't think Thomas is here to hear that feedback, so that's unfortunate.
I'll pass over to him.
Okay. Maybe we can send him a screenshot.
I see Thomas.
Oh, Thomas joined? Okay.
It looks like they just reacted too, so I think they're listening.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Thomas is fully enjoying these compliments. Don't worry.
All right. The agenda was well planned. We had 11 people agree, one person somewhat agree, but no comments there. The case management update by Robert Worry was informative and relevant to the HCPC. And we had 8 people agree, 3 people somewhat agree, and 1 person somewhat disagree. And we have a couple of comments here. First one being thank you. A more structured summary of the service category descriptions would be helpful for members who don't know the categories well. And then not being there in person made it a bit hard to follow along. The state public policy update by Laura Thomas was effective and engaging to the HCPC. And we had 11 people agree, 1 person somewhat disagreed. And some feedback here. Always look forward to Laura's presentations and updates. Thank you so much for the update and hard work. Excellent, thanks to Laura. And great info, thank you. Then the long-acting injectables presentation by Andrea Gross, I think it was informative and relevant to the HCPC, and everyone agreed. There were 2 comments here. Excellent presentation and very informative and hopeful. As for the needs of council members being met during this time, we had a couple of different answers here. So we had 10 people agree, 1 person somewhat agree, and then 1 person somewhat disagree. We did have 1 comment. My separation as a council member, a person living with HIV for 40 years, and a Latino, gay, immigrant, client of services, et cetera, are always intertwined. And I know my brain tried to work out those differences as a council member. All right, and then what worked well for you during this meeting, and then what could have been improved? We had the food was amazing. I love the food, but found some a little spicy. Laura Thomas's policy updates were very helpful. Would love a summary of her updates provided as a handout. Great direction by Thomas. I'll say would work better to have always option B and option C if one of the presenters does not show up or is not on time. For the public or the members to be on a blank space can be a reason to question what's happening. And then do you have any suggestions for future presentations or training topics? Thank you to all the staff. I keep noticing how invisible the long-term survivors are, and it seems to me that the fact of not trying to offend anyone might be a reason, but then doing nothing or making us invisible, it hurts. Open to talk. Presenters were late or absent. The meeting was very dry and non-engaging. It received an overall rating of 8.8, so not terrible, and I think there's a lot of good feedback overall. Any questions about this?
No question for me, but just more of a response to whoever wrote about the option A or B for folks who don't show up. So we have an agenda that has to be published in advance. The agenda has to be noticed via a public notice. So that's why it also goes to the public library. We cannot have an agenda that has additional options if a presenter is running late or is a no-show. Simple as that. I mean, I know it can be a surprising annoyance if a presenter is running late, but just the very nature of like a public agenda that has to be noticed in advance and can be changed at the start. It's only a true agenda until the vote happens. But even then, like, we don't vote on a second option in case someone doesn't show. So I was kind of perplexed by that feedback. Doesn't seem to understand basic idea of agendas. You don't usually have like a backup agenda.
All right. Richard?
Yeah, about the long-term survivors, I have an idea who that might have come from. It's not important because it comes from a good place. I mean, but I we're doing a needs assessment on 65 plus, and we always address an aging population. And I'll speak for myself. I'm 62, and I consider myself long-term surviving with this. I think that's pretty well represented on the committee council. Is there something more we can do, or are we missing something with long-term? I mean, we're well represented by that, I think, and there's a lot of good input from long-term survivors with basically a long-term survivor needs assessment coming up. Can we do more, or am I missing something?
Yeah, I have something to add to Richard's thing. I'm trying to understand the word invisibility. Is it because we don't have the representation from long-term survivors, or is it because they weren't vocal during the meeting? But I thought, well, you know, I don't. Yeah, so I don't know. But I think that we're well represented, and the membership committee is trying their best to make sure that we are balanced. And personally, I consider myself long-term, and I'll speak up when I can, when I think it's relevant. But I don't know what that word meant, though, invisibility, whether it was vocal or just not being represented at all. So thank you.
Also, aren't we trying actually to meet as a, for people who are living with HIV? Are you guys, is it a group happening or not really? Because that's a topic that can be discussed during those meetings, perhaps.
Yeah, there is an ad hoc PLWH group, but like I said, it's ad hoc and it hasn't been convened in a while. So, yeah, that is a good point, Irma. That is something that we could discuss if we had those meetings again.
And maybe it doesn't have to be, like, ongoing because, you know, in the wintertime, during the cold season, well, in the city, it's always cold anyway. But maybe it can be, like, every 6 months, like, maybe something twice a year that can take place and people living with HIV can actually do something special. And so that way, you know, maybe Ron, you can take that back to the membership committee.
Yeah, I'll bring it up. I'll talk to Mark about it because I remember when I first got to the council, they met on a regular basis, but it was maybe 3-4 times a year. And when I took it up, when I became a co-chair, I was trying to convene everybody every month. That didn't work out. So they restructured everything, and I don't know what happened to that the new format. I know that they met up maybe 2 years ago. I wasn't part of that, but yeah, if it comes up again, I'll participate.
I'm currently the chair of that, and that was some months ago. We did that, and just when we reached out and put feelers out, not a lot. From what I remember, is not a lot of people were responding. And we you know, we tried several times, you know, this is what we're doing. We're thinking of getting this cranked up again. And we just weren't getting the feedback to like set something up on a regular basis or even. So we just, I think we kind of left it, you know, the council is addressing most of the things that this group would discuss. If something comes up on the fly, we could schedule a meeting, but no one's really mentioned anything. Kind of in limbo, but we weren't getting a response to get it up and structured.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I can only echo that. First of all, we wouldn't bring this back to membership. The PLWH advocacy group actually reports to this group. So it would be under this group. And the thing is, we can't create a group, an active group, if there's no interest. Nor should we be attempting to, like, in some ways respond to what is like one evaluation comment by creating sort of a whole process if folks aren't interested. Richard can at any point attempt to reconvene this group. Anyone can, but Richard is a designated chair. But I mean, this has happened over the course of multiple years. At first, actually, I mean, as far back as when Dave was the director of the council, and then after that, Kira tried working with Richard. But if people are not off, if like the only people who are offering to show up are Richard and Ron, then that means that there's no interest in that. So that also means then that the majority of folks who are living with HIV on the council feel that their needs are being met by the actual work of the full council across all of its committees. And so, yeah, I mean, if there's interest, like Richard should, I'd say that maybe Richard should even annually just do a call out to all the positive folks and just ask, do we want to convene this group? There indeed used to be quite a lot of activity on this group because it was based around, just to trace it way back, at first it was based around like, let's get together and talk about our unique challenges and how we really want to show up in the council. That was like 20 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, and that happened for a little bit. And then it petered off. And so then I tried to restart it by connecting it to prioritization and allocation. And so PLWH Advocacy Group would then become the first stop for priority setting and resource allocation. But even that petered off as well. And so I don't know whether this means there's a failure of having a particular group dedicated towards PLWH, or if it's a success of the council in that people with living with HIV feel already well integrated into the work of the council and feel they do have a strong voice. It was initially created because PLWH and the council, and I remember this quite clearly because I was a council member, felt that the voices that were dominating the council were service providers. So that might still be the case. The service providers may still have the same strength of voice, but at least there appears to be some difference, though, in that there's no, I haven't heard anything in the evaluation or even personally, privately, one-on-one about how PLWH are always having their voices shut down. I just haven't heard that. I haven't seen it. And I haven't seen any feedback around that. So I guess we could look at it as like, this is a problem, or we could look at it as like, this is actually something that we've been doing well. Again, this doesn't take away from the fact that Richard can at any point attempt to convene a group, but then people will need to show up.
Right.
I'll keep that in mind, Mark. But I think, unless I hear differently from what you're saying, I look at this as success overall in the HIV world. I mean, to me, a PLWH group, it always seemed more of a support group atmosphere. Absolutely. than like a working group. And I just see people living with HIV on this council. I know them, and they just seem well-adjusted. They're supported by the council and in their own lives around their HIV. And I'm not being lazy. I would definitely be part of a group, but it seemed it would be more of a support group, and people are being supported in their lives and in the council.
I absolutely agree with you, Richard. I remember back then it used to be a little bit more casual, and it was more of a get together. We would have a small agenda, but we would meet around, and it was so casual. We would have cookies or snacks or whatever. So it was a way for us just to touch base and be as a group, consolidate. But we had better numbers back then. So I don't know. I don't know how many we are today in our, what is it, six of us? If we could convince ourselves that it's going to be a fun hour, then that's a good way you could promote it, Richard. You know, I'll help you if you want. You got banners and everything. I don't know.
All right. Well, thanks so much for everyone's input. So we are going to review the full council agenda.
Okay, you all see that?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see our normal stuff under general updates. Still waiting for an SOA rep to replace Chris Kent. I have been given a new person to contact, so this will be my second. We will see. And then we don't have CARE on this list of general updates because we have a broader presentation from Lee Jewell, which is I'm actually working on with him right now, which is basically a federal funding and CARE update. I gave that about 35 minutes. It looks like a shorter presentation from what Lee has sent over so far. It is following the structure that was recommended by council affairs, but it still needs some work. So I'm working on that with him. And then a break, fairly generous one, because we only have one other presentation on the agenda, which is our annual Happen update slash report on local funding advocacy from our partners over at Happen, which is currently being led by Lance Toma and Laura Thomas. So I get that nearly an hour. That sometimes that's been a surprisingly short program, but other times it's been surprisingly long. And there always is a lot of questions about it afterwards. So I thought it was best to err on the side of length, just in case. And so that's the agenda put together. Any questions or changes? No? Okay, I'll send this out to staff and the presenters after this meeting.
Thank you. So bylaws and also policies and procedures by Mark.
Ron, did you say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to double check on the agenda because they said the time was 4 to 6 p.m. So it's just a 2-hour meeting.
Oh, no, yeah. Really? That's not a problem. So I have 4 to 6:30 there.
You need it to make 3 hours or something.
I only see 4 to 6:30 here. Where are you seeing 6?
Okay. I wear glasses, but still, they don't work well for me sometimes. I thought it was 6 o'clock. I apologize. It's 6:30 then.
Oh. No worries.
I've got a little over-exuberant on the 20-minute dinner break.
Yes, absolutely.
All right,
so we did basically complete the bylaws. There was an additional part at the end that I'm still hoping to get some clarification on regarding liability, but otherwise the bylaws were complete. We also did the mission. I think it was the first thing that we did. Is that correct, Kara?
We haven't done the mission and values.
Okay, I was worried that was going to be the answer, so I did actually drag it along just in case. I'm pretty sure I thought we did it, though. I guess I'm wrong. I really thought we did it. Sorry.
It's really now short, though, so.
Now I'm just talking to myself. Okay, so let me open that up. One moment. Let me save this to my desktop. Okay, share screen. Share. All right, do folks see that? All right, so our mission is ensure that there is meaningful collaboration that supports a continuum of HIV prevention care and treatment services. Ensure that San Francisco has functional networks that provide seamless service delivery, and support models that increase health equity among populations heavily impacted by HIV. So this first one is, of course, speaks to the fact that we are a merged council. We're a merger between HIV prevention and care and treatment. The second speaks to actually, in many ways, the missions of both HIV prevention and care councils. It's to ensure that everyone is able to get the service that they need in the amount of time that they need. And then the third one certainly speaks to our idea that we would like to understand the differences in different communities and populations and promote similar outcomes amongst them, no matter who that person is or what community they come from. We want to have health equity, and that means equality of outcome when it comes to our consumers of services. So any thoughts on the mission? Any feelings about changing or updating it? Or perhaps just doing away with it entirely and starting afresh? No? People love it as is? Okay. Now let's go vision. Vision, of course, is like, it's an optimistic goal. It's our vision rather than like what we expect to be seeing on the ground happening now. And our vision is to create an ideal healthcare system for people living with or at risk for HIV AIDS. Any feelings about the vision? It is a lofty goal. Ideal is a big word, but we are trying to do that here.
Do we actually create the healthcare system, or, I mean, that's not really our jurisdiction, right? We're just Ryan Wyatt.
We have helped create, but you're right. That is that's not particularly specific. I mean, for example, like the council, along with service providers and DPH, did create, again, collaboratively, not solo, the Centers of Excellence model. So do we want to adjust that to be to reflect better that we actually are not the creators, that we are part of the continuum? So maybe it should be to support. Okay. Do folks agree with that? We are changing our entire vision here from create to support. So I want to make sure.
You should get a vote. I don't want it because it's my influence. I mean.
Oh, okay.
It's okay with everybody. I mean.
So let's hear from, let me open this up so I can actually see everyone. Is there anyone opposed, actually, to changing? I mean, that is a change from create to support. I would agree with Ron that it's not exactly true. We did not necessarily create the system of care. We're co-creators, and that system has been created. Are folks okay? Does anyone object to the idea of putting in support rather than create?
No, I like it.
So, I don't not like it. Can you all hear me okay?
Yes.
Definitely can hear you.
I'm just wondering if there's another word that would, I want to say like support or engage with or something a little bit more. It's not quite the right fit. So I appreciate the conversation of what Ron pointed out, but support seems, just doesn't quite work. I'll take it if that's all we can do. But if anybody has a word that might be a little bit more.
Would the word assist in, or using the word assist somewhere fitting in the beginning of that, to assist with or assist in? I don't know.
Thomas, do you have a suggestion?
I'd keep thinking of like engage with, influence, guide, partner, enable.
Enable sounds good.
Facilitate.
Enable and facilitate. It's not the same.
I don't have a huge dog in the race either, but whatever. That was just my initial hit. So if enable works, great.
Yeah,
I like enable too.
Our vision is to enable an ideal healthcare system for people living with or at risk for HIV/AIDS. How does that sound for folks? Let me just do the same question then as before. Kat, if you have other suggestions, I think you shouldn't be shy about putting them in.
Oh, mine was just facilitate.
Okay. I like facilitate, but I think enable is actually more proactive in some ways. Like, we're going to enable this to happen. And a lot of times I think that's how, like with facilitate, I can see that one too. But enable seems so like, just a bit more like, we're going to make this happen.
To collaborate in the formation of ideal healthcare systems for people living with or at risk?
That seems less strong, actually, than enable. To me, at least, to these ears. Like, enable is basically like, we're going to make this happen, right? We're enabling it. And it is a vision, so we don't necessarily have to succeed in that, but that could be our perpetual ongoing goal, is to enable this ideal healthcare system. I'm not trying to convince you, but I guess I am. It's not my choice, so I'm not voting on that. Looks like there's some chats things. I'll see if there's any questions here. All right. Anyone opposed to enable instead of support or create? All right.
I think that's a good one. Question about the vision. I mean, the mission again.
Sure thing. Are we all okay with vision right now before we move back to mission?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's move back to mission. You should see it there on your screen.
Do we need to add anything about San Mateo and Marin or no? Like, because, you know, I'm never like clear about that myself. Like,
good point. We are an EMA, which includes two other counties.
Right.
Should we add and ensure that San Francisco
EMA or
ensure that the San Francisco EMA. There we go.
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, I can't believe we missed that the first time around. How insulting to our county partners is that? Jeez Louise.
I don't want them to have their feelings hurt, you know.
No, it should be they're our partners.
Yeah.
Thank you, Zachary. That is a good save.
We have some good legal minds on the council, some contractual law work going on here.
Absolutely. Okay, so I'm gonna stop share if there's nothing else on mission and vision. Just a moment, and we'll pull up our next one. Thanks. Okay. Council member job description. We're really going to just get right into it. All right, let me share screen. Council member job description. So we'll just do this. We'll do this piece by piece because this is a two-page policy. The position. The mandated responsibilities of council members include establishing prioritization of service categories and the allocation of Ryan White funds within the EMA, including how best to meet each such priority. Reviewing the Health Department's cooperative agreement application to the CDC for federal HIV prevention funds, including their proposed budget, and voting to send a letter of concurrence, concurrence with reservations, or non-concurrence. Developing the integrated HIV prevention and care plan compatible with existing state and local plans for HIV services. Assessing the efficiency of the administrative mechanism and rapidly allocating funds to areas of greatest need. Quick question, who is the administrative mechanism?
DPH.
Excellent.
Honestly,
wow. Participating in the development of a statewide coordinated statement of need. Identifying priority populations to receive HIV services based on a thorough review of epidemiologic evaluation, behavioral, and other data on the San Francisco EMA's population and communities. And establishing methods for obtaining input on community needs and priorities, which of course is our needs assessment. Epidemiological. I think that should be coal, not just ick. That's what messed me up, I'm sure. Coal, right? And it's still not saying it's spelled correctly. Oh, that wants to capitalize it. No. Okay. Clearly, there might need some be some updates here. We're going to have to rely on our friends Thomas and Bill. Hopefully, Bill's unfrozen at this point. Otherwise, we might have to put this one on hold. Let's start. Like I'm looking at, like, is this the correct language now for bullet point two? Is this the correct language for bullet point three? And do we still do this bullet point around development of a statewide coordinated statement of need? We do support the state. Obviously, they have come before us. Just recently, Leroy did. But is that the same thing as what we're seeing in this bullet point? So let's start with bullet point two. Thomas, what would you describe? I mean, this is like the first is obviously about HIV care. Thomas, what would you say our duties are in relation to HIV prevention? Would you say that this bullet point encapsulated or is it a little out of date?
Honestly, just with regards to the terminology, department agreement,
you're really broken up, Thomas. You're really broken up. Is there any way you can fix that? Yeah, I can't hear. I can't understand a word you're saying. Okay, well, we'll get back to Thomas on that one. Bill, are you unfrozen? And if you are, what do you feel about bullet point three and then also the bullet point two down, a statewide coordinated statement of need? All right, then. Well, just when we need them the most. I'm going to highlight these as we need to come back to this, obviously. But let's look at the remaining ones. This hasn't changed. This top bullet point has not changed, right? This is what we do every year. This is what we need to do. It's our primary mandate. This is that fun little thing that people often forget about, grantee assessment. This is making sure we get all the reports that we need, and we do get a lot of reports that we need. So this should do the same. And I don't know about establishing methods. Like, I think it should just be obtaining input on community needs and priorities from the impacted and affected communities. How do you feel about that?
COLAs, right?
Yeah, this is a needs assessment and occasional COLAs. So, well, it's not so much establishing methods, it's actually doing it from the affected communities. Obtaining input on community needs and priorities from the affected communities. Yeah, that's part of our mandate. People feel okay with that change. It makes it more specific that we're actually going to the communities. All right. So we will come back to those three later when we have Thomas and Bill fully with us. Additional responsibilities. Attend monthly full council meetings and assigned committee meetings. I wonder if we should put it home. Attend monthly full council meetings. You know what? Assigned is good because we have at least one person or a state office rep who does not have a home committee. So, okay, assigned makes sense. Prepare for all council meetings by reading the pre-reading materials. I'm sure everyone does that, including the minutes of the previous meetings. And I know everyone does that. Communicate respectfully with fellow council members, the public, health department staff, and all others involved in the community planning process. Indeed, we have a whole rule of respectful engagement. That's also part of PNP. Attend all orientation and training events where mandated. Basically, the only mandate is around certain things you need to be reminded of every year, like, say, the council. I do an annual council mandate, but also every new member has to go through an orientation. That's actually part of what HRSA says has to happen, and they do. Remain informed about HIV policy issues pertaining to subject matter jurisdiction.
What's that?
Planning Council. I have no idea what that means.
The subject manager is a newsletter?
I have no idea. And they're all capitalized, so it makes me think that's something formal. I need to look into that. Unless...
homework, right?
Say again?
That means people have homework.
Yeah. Remain informed. Yeah. It could also mean that we need to make sure to receive educational presentations on different subjects. I don't know. I need to look that up. That's a different kind of phrasing for me. Subject matter jurisdiction. Yeah, I'll need to look that up. Be able and willing to participate in discussions relevant to the needs of the EMA as opposed to interest group / category of representation. And that's a tough one sometimes to abide by. And anyway, moving on to the last one, or at least on this page, willingness to participate in council events in order to further the council's mission and goals, e.g. attending community forums, etc., when they happen, which is not often. Anything on this besides we need to figure out what the subject matter jurisdiction is? No? Okay.
Should we Google it?
Qualifications. Get that extra space there. Oh, what? I guess it wasn't an extra space. Sure looks like it. Anyway, inclusion, membership in a specified category per legislation and HRSA/CDC guidance. Ability to communicate opinions freely, honestly, and respectfully per the rules of respectful engagement. Commitment to adhere to the bylaws and PNP of the council. Ability to operate / function collaboratively to contribute and participate in council activities. So we're talking about, like, we need to fit you into a category, which is true. People need to be able to speak openly and freely, but also respectfully. People need to adhere to our own bylaws and PNP. And we need to be able to be collaborative in order to participate in the council. Any thoughts on these? Or leave as is, update?
Do we have to add in attendance requirements, or is that just a given?
That's part of the policies and procedures of the council.
All right.
Okay, eligibility.
I think that subject matter jurisdiction, just on the what those words mean, is what the council has purview over. That's what we need. You know what I mean? I think that's all it means. Is policy issues that we remain what we have purview over. So we can't talk about things that are going on in Oklahoma or something. It's what we have purview over, I believe.
You know, that makes perfect sense to me. Would people agree with Richard on that?
Because there's a legal framework for that too, but with us, it's the same. Just what the court can hear that it has jurisdiction over. And that's basically what we do, what we have purview over. Yeah.
So it's just saying, like, we need to be aware of everything that actually is relevant to what we need to be aware of, basically.
Okay. And we do that. I mean, we hear from Marin. We get feedback from San Mateo. We talk about budgetary issues that concern us and, you know, just everything that's in our wheelhouse.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, actually. I think it was a capitalization that actually threw me off. Okay, so anything else on qualifications? Eligibility. The membership of the council should be restricted to persons who currently reside in or work in the San Francisco EMA, which is San Francisco, San Mateo, and Marin Counties. Term length. We actually did this in the PNP. So what I'm going to do is just take whatever we did in PNP, or actually I'll ask you, Kira, to do that if you don't mind, since I think you hold the folder. And so we'll just transfer that over. In the meantime, what I'll do is I'll email Thomas bullet point two, hopefully get some verbiage from him. And I'll also email Bill about the second and third, and then we'll come back to this one during our next meeting. Sound good? Okay. Save. Just a moment, bear with me. Right, appointed seats. I think this one might need to have some updates for sure. Okay, let's see, there's a chat. Thomas can hear us. Okay. All right, y'all see that? So we have had some changes here, but let me just read this as is for now. Appointed seats for the HTPC will come from the following organizations or department representatives: Behavioral Health Services, Disease Prevention and Control, Jail Health Services, Primary Care, Housing, which is MOCD, Part B, LTCCC, Housing, San Mateo, and Marin. Appointed seats will be required to come to full council meeting. Attendance at committee meetings is recommended, but optional. Interesting, huh? Appointed seat attendance at committee meetings will not be counted towards attendance requirements. Appointed seats are not allowed to have an alternate. So we have been doing something quite differently for many years since this has been created. So we have a number of appointed, we have at least one appointed seat that is no longer, no, we have at least two appointed seats that's on this list here that is no longer occurring. The first one is we no longer have two different housing appointed seats. We just have one after realizing that just we're not getting anything from a particular department. No one was sending anyone over to replace Margot and Antonetti. And so, well, I guess we could have this up here, but it just, it's like if a department chooses not to give us anyone, I don't have any ability to compel them other than talking to our mayor's director of appointments, which I guess I could. So I guess we could. I'm sorry, because I'm talking myself out and then back into keeping it.
Doesn't Manuel represent housing by some way, or
He represents that first one, housing, with the parenthetical Mayor's Office of Housing and Community Development. And so we've had a few different people in that role. Before Manuel, we had a long gap, but before that long gap was Bruce Ito, if you recall. People might remember Bruce. So that's what that is. And then basically housing was filled by a very long-term counselor, Margo Antonetti, who passed during the pandemic. And they just never sent us a replacement. So maybe we should keep this here, and I can actually use this. I'm having a conversation actually next week with the mayor's office of mayor's director of appointments, and I can bring this up that, like, can you do anything to get us a rep from housing? We should take off LTCCC, because my understanding is that they restructured and they removed sort of like our traded seats. We used to have a seat over there, and they used to put someone over to us.
What was it? What does that stand for?
Oh, I'm sorry. Long-Term Care Coordinating Council.
Okay.
And that's a council that speaks specifically to seniors and the work of the Department of Aging. But they restructured, and
In-home support, right? With
no, it's a lot more than that. It's basically all of the Department of Aging Services was their purview. They're like us, except they, I think, were advisory, and they were over elder services rather than HIV services. So obviously some connectivity with HIV elders, but they stopped sending us a rep, and then they removed our rep because they restructured. So that's that. I have to take that out, because that's just, there's no longer a space for us. They've decided there's no need, actually. I mean, it was interesting to say. It was an interesting conversation. Basically, people are just telling me, like, oh, no, we don't need any representation from you all right now. We've, in fact, told your current rep that there's no need for him to come to meetings anymore, because we have representation from DPH. And I was like, oh, okay. There you have it. Not exactly a community council, but fine. Part B, of course, is our state rep was Chris Kent. We still need a new one. Behavioral health services. I do wonder, is that something that, Zach, I know that you're a mental health services, but would you fall under that?
Yes, I do think that's me. Yeah,
I think that's you. Now, disease prevention and control. We actually used to have a person in that. Is that still, though, a separate entity? I sure wish Thomas was able to speak, because I think they might be able to say something.
Franco is primary care, but also very involved in that.
Oh, really?
Sure. Yeah.
Thomas thumbs up, so I'm assuming he agrees that it would be under him.
Under Franco? Okay.
No, I don't know, Thomas. Can you elaborate?
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can I hear you now?
Great. Yeah, so that is Franco. The thing is that they just changed their titling. So, Mark, if you shoot me an email, I'll get the right titling. They just changed the department name.
Will do. Now, we used to have a jail health services rep in Irma Parada. She has transitioned to community leader since she no longer works for jail health services. And we never actually received a replacement. I wonder how we can do that. What are your thoughts, Irma?
I have no idea. Maybe Bill can facilitate that.
Yeah, it's a good thing for me to reach out to him.
I mean, if you have primary care, I mean, jail health is under primary care also, so I guess if you don't have anyone, it could be Franco also.
No, I think I'm going to put these as the ones with, like, pink as a follow-up. Pink for follow-up, yellow for just get the new name. San Mateo and Marin, obviously, we have those. Primary care is our very own Helen Lynn. This appears to give appointed seats the ability to not have home committees, which is not actually what we've been following. I mean, I feel we should do away with this. I mean, they have been following a home committee model just like everyone else. The only exception, because they're disallowed, they're barred from travel, is our Part B slash State Office of AIDS rep. But everyone else has actually been following the I have a home committee and must attend it model.
I agree. I think we should keep it.
Yeah. Okay. So how about is attendance at committee meetings
Mark, wasn't there a process where we kind of said people who were previously on didn't have to have a home committee?
Right. We did this because when we were merging, there was a little bit of outcry from some appointed seats who were like, wait a second, I don't need to, I'm only, okay, yeah, that's why.
However, I was appointed and I was actually asked, I was told that I needed to attend.
Yeah. Well, I think this is way back in the merge, though. And I think when we were merging with the Prevention Council, there were certain seats on the Prevention Council. It was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. My requirement was only that I come here for this only. And so I think we were being flexible to those folks. Okay, yeah. Oh, now I understand why. I remember now why we did this, because it was kind of like a lot of us on council support were like, this seems kind of patently unfair, but we do want to be fair to everyone as well. We don't like, we want to grandfather in if people came in under the understanding that they would only be, they'd only need to do 3 hours. And then I think after that, we kind of just like softly disobeyed our own policy and brought everyone in like Irma under like a, so
stricter rules.
Yeah, okay. So let's do that. So let's, I mean, those folks are all gone. Honestly, those folks, the folks who had that issue, they're no longer with the council. So we can, I think we can change this. We'll be assigned a home committee. And I'm going to put in the exception to this is the State Office of AIDS Part B representative, as this position is located in Sacramento and is barred from traveling. Okay, that's pretty specific, and I think it needs to be. Okay, you can take this one away. You can take everything else away, actually. Recommended, but optional. Delete. Okay, so this puts it actually in alignment with what we're doing now. Okay, so I will again follow up with, I'm going to follow up with Thomas for that yellow highlight, and then I'm going to follow up with Bill and then maybe the Director of Appointments at the Mayor's Office for housing. Sound good? A lot of to be continued on this one. Save this. Desktop. And Kira, scratch that, my request for you subbing in the term limit. Since I'm holding on to that first policy, I might as well just do it myself. It's here on my desktop anyway. Okay, number three, meeting attendance. Let me find that. Wow, this is the policy that I look at the most. It's a two-page policy. So we'll
we actually went over this, Mark, while you were gone that one meeting.
Oh, thank God. Oh, hallelujah. Gosh.
While you were not in attendance, we went over the meeting attendance requirements.
Praise be. Okay. I'm going to just delete this so I can get it literally off my screen.
So you can go ahead and skip ahead to conflict of interest, I believe.
Okay, so you did leave of absence too?
Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you. Conflict of interest. Screen. Okay, y'all see that? A conflict of interest may be held by a council member who has a fiscal relationship with an agency, for example, staff or executive board member, that receives or may receive Ryan White Part A services. Council members should follow the conflict of interest guidelines in the bylaws and as set forth in the policies and procedures below or see below. Okay, conflict of interest. Number one, all council members must sign the conflict of interest disclosure form and the FPPC 700 form, indicating their willingness to disassociate from any actual or perceived special interest during council deliberations and agreeing to act only on behalf of the broadly affected HIV community in its totality. So, of course, you're all familiar with the 700 form. I don't know if we had a conflict of interest disclosure form that I'm aware of until quite recently. So I'm not sure how we actually enacted that one previously, but we now have one. And it's something that all council members have already signed and all new council members have to sign as part of the process. Two, council members with an actual or perceived conflict of interest may engage in discussion of issues that may relate to their conflict of interest. All actual or perceived conflicts must be disclosed by the council member during the discussion of issues and prior to any comment made on an issue. I like that. When voting on individual service categories, all council members with a conflict of interest will recuse themselves from voting on issues that directly relate or appear to relate to an action which may result or appear to result in personal, organizational, or professional gain. So, of course, that just means you have to recuse. We very, very rarely do vote on individual service categories. And so if we do slate votes on all service categories, recusal is understood and assumed. Okay, four. Any questions on that one? Okay. When voting on grouped When voting on grouped service categories, all council members with a conflict of interest in one or more of the group categories shall recuse themselves from voting on the particular category and issues that directly relate or appear to relate to an action which may result or appear to result in personal, organizational, or professional gain. Council members who are PLWH who serve as staff or governing board members of Ryan White Party Services are also considered as having conflict of interest in those service categories. And so that's also why we have a number of HIV positive members who do not count towards our unaffiliated because they are affiliated with certain agencies. The membership committee will take into account all prospective council members' conflict of interest before nominating them to the council.
On number five though, because I understand that if you're PLWH and your staff or a board member, you are affiliated, but what if you are also a consumer?
The fact that you could potentially have financial impact trumps the fact that you are a consumer.
So should we put that in, whether or not the individual is a consumer?
It says that already. Council members who are PLWH.
Okay, because I see PLWH as being someone with PLWH, but not actually being, All right.
Okay. Any other thoughts to this one? No? All right, let's get a time stop share. So no changes to that one. If there are no changes to that one, I think that's the only one so far, Kira, that you can just grab from the website and just update. Let's see what else we have. Six, recruitment. You didn't do recruitment, did you, Kira?
No, I did not.
All right. Okay, there's four parts to this. Recruitment is a charge of the membership committee. This committee meets monthly to evaluate representation of the membership of the Planning Council and will ensure the council membership meets the requirements of the CDC and the Ryan White program. Locally determined criteria concerning representation outlined in the council's bylaws and all relevant HRSA guidance concerning membership and the appointment of new members. Two, if federally mandated or locally required, membership categories If federally mandated or locally required membership categories are not currently filled, or if the composition of the current membership does not reflect the demographic of the epidemic in the San Francisco EMA, the committee will identify the areas of needed representation and will prepare to recruit and recommend individuals for appointment to correct this lack of representation. Three, As part of its evaluation process, the membership committee may prioritize specific membership vacancies and emphasize the need to obtain members who have particular areas of knowledge, expertise, or representation. And four, the committee, in partnership with Council Support and the Community Engagement Committee, may conduct regular targeted recruitment as needed. All council members are encouraged to assist in council member recruitment. I think it's pretty straightforward. Describes the recruitment component of the membership committee. Any questions or changes, updates to this one? All right, seeing none, I guess, Kira, this is policy number two that you can just take directly and move over. Well, this is, I'm just eliminating work for myself here, left and right. That way I don't need to send you an email, which will take seconds out of my life.
Precious.
Precious seconds. All right. Gosh, the only one that I only downloaded one other one. I didn't expect to get through these so fast. I guess I can download more. Unless people's eyes are getting tired. All right. Application, selection, and appointment. Let me share screen. Another longer piece. It's two pages, so we're going to go piece by piece. Application, selection, and appointment. Applications for membership to the council are solicited through an open, public, and proactive process. The protocol for submission, review of application, selection, and appointment of council members should be clearly delineated in the Policies and Procedures Manual. Parity, inclusion, and representation, PIR, for the HCPC shall be understood in terms of the HIV epidemiological profile of San Francisco, not the national profile, and this shall be reflected in the composition of the full council. The HCPC strongly values diverse representation and builds on the concept of parity, inclusion, and representation. Well, those must have been the hot words du jour back in the day. The council is committed to ensuring that the application, selection, and appointment of members are conducted in a manner that is transparent and has full integrity. The members of the council are solicited through an open, public, and proactive process. This seems to be repeating what the first paragraph says. How do folks feel about just eliminating this third paragraph? It just seems repetitious. Anyone object to that? Okay, and also we already mentioned parity, inclusion, and representation. So maybe even the second and third. Because I think if for an introductory paragraph, it introduces itself and then it repeats in two other paragraphs what it literally just said. If people are okay, I'm going to just delete that. Okay, yes.
The HIV epidemiologic profile of San Francisco, do we add EMA like we did on the last one?
Nice. I like that. But no, do we actually take...
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think... Well, Kira would have a better answer to this. Is our local epi... Does that... When you... That report that you share every month, does that include the full EMA or just San Francisco? I actually think it's just San Francisco.
Yeah, it's just San Francisco.
Yeah, because they have their own ways of like they have their own... Marin has its own council. I don't know if San Mateo okay. still... Yeah. Okay.
And Mark, I'm anal, but the parentheses PIR, the acronym, can you capitalize each of those items, the parity, inclusion, and representation? Just to
I don't think I'd want to do that because then that implies that they exist. I mean, I'd rather just take out PIR.
Yeah, because you know I thought PIR was some kind of
Yeah, I mean I think it was a thing back in the day, like DEI is now. But the thing is, like, as separate concepts, they all make sense, right? Parity is equality, inclusion, it makes sense, and representation makes sense. So I don't know what that PIR is. I think that's gone with the wind, but we still want to do all three of those things. It's basic, yeah. Okay, if you're okay with that, we'll move on. Application process for council membership. Application forms are available online at the council website, blah, 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 and at all council meetings and subcommittee meetings. Let's just say in-person subcommittee meetings. Applicants must attend at least one full council meeting prior to submitting an application. Completed forms should be forwarded to council support staff. They may also be submitted to council support staff at any full council or committee meetings. Council support staff will review applications for completeness and verification of information. They will then forward applications to the membership committee, who will review the applications and vote on whether or not to interview the candidate. If an interview is to be scheduled, council support staff will work with the membership committee to set a date for the committee interview. Prior to the committee interview, council support staff will conduct a minimum of 2 reference checks per applicant and report on them at the time of the interview. Okay, any questions on the application process? Moving along, interview and appointment process for council membership. At the committee interview, membership co-chairs will set a procedure appropriate to the current situation. All applicants will be asked questions as determined by the membership committee. The committee will make a decision based on the reference check findings, interview, application, and demographics of current council needs. If the committee votes to recommend the candidate to the council membership, the vote will be noticed on the agenda for the next full council meeting. Council support staff will inform the applicant of the committee decision. The planning council will review the recommendations of the membership committee and will vote to accept or reject the committee's recommendation. All nominations and votes will be considered on an individual basis by the council. Yes. Okay. If the council votes to accept the membership committee's recommendation, then recommended nominees will be submitted to the mayor for appointment.
Mark?
Yes.
The individual basis part, is that telling us that we have to go, we have to call names and get a vote, or can we do slates?
We can't, that's saying we can't do slates for membership. So if there's like 2 nominees from the membership committee, we have to do them each separately.
Okay, so we're talking about individual candidates, not individual council members to get their vote.
Yeah, exactly. And then I would recommend one change here. Until mayoral appointment occurs, the nominee should be considered a member of the public. That's not really quite the case. I worked out a deal with a director of appointments like 2 mayors ago, because they were taking so long to actually appoint us that in some ways they're considered now a provisional member. And then I can define that should be considered a member. These members may sit at the council table and engage with
discussions.
Yes. Discussions. However, until they receive formal/final approval from the mayor's office, they are not allowed to create motions, second motions, or vote on motions. All right. Any questions on our updates to interview and appointment process for council membership? Okay.
There's just a little typo. These members.
Where is that?
These members.
Okay, appointed seat. Each organization department that has an appointed seat will identify a primary representative. Okay. I don't think we need to capitalize appointed. These representatives should have department level expertise and knowledge that will be relevant to planning and implementing HIV prevention and care in San Francisco. Appointed members speak on behalf of the section and or organization they represent rather than on personal opinion. Okay. They're subject to the same interview application and mayoral appointment process as other members. And the application selection and appointment of the government co-chair seat is determined. Okay. So this does identify the difference between an appointed seat and, say, a service provider. They're coming specifically to represent an entity. So a service provider is not there to represent, say, Shanti. We'll just use Derek as an example, right? So Derek has a sort of a dual function. He's openly talks about his status as a consumer of services, but he also is here as a service provider. And because that's a conflict of interest, it actually rather trumps his status as a consumer of service. So he's primarily considered a service provider. However, he doesn't represent Shanti. He's able to draw upon his own experience as a service provider, as well as a consumer, and relay that experience, but he's not representing Shanti. That's different than, say, Manuel, who literally is representing MoCD and can speak towards, well, this is what MoCD does. And same goes, hopefully, for our other appointment seats, whether it's Zachary, whether it was former Chris Kent speaking on behalf of the State Office on AIDS, our current government co-chair, Thomas Noble, etc. I mean, when I look at three, I'm just like, well, you know, it's true they should be speaking on behalf, but we also, like, they're able to share their personal opinions. So I'm not sure about that one. I understand why that's there for sure. But individuals have experiences. So I don't know. Maybe we should keep that as is, or if that needs to be adjusted. Any thoughts?
I totally understand why it's there. I'm wondering if there's a way to addend it, make an addendum that, like, for example, if I was to speak from a place of personal opinion, would I start my statement by saying, like, you know, I'm making a, or I'm speaking as a member of the community? I don't know. Yeah.
No, I see what you mean. It's almost like I just make this two sentences.
A disclosure, a full disclosure.
A disclosure, yeah.
If such member speaks from personal experience, they will disclose that.
Mm-hmm.
They will disclose that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay, good. That allows it. Great. Yeah, just remember to do that, Zachary, before you make any pointed comments about people, what they're wearing and whatnot. That this is personal opinion. It's not the actual opinion of behavioral health that people need to a little bit on their shoe game. Okay, anything else for appointed seats? Okay. Well, we made a little bit of changes here and there, so I'll send that to you, Kara. And that's the last one that I actually had downloaded to for us to review today. I didn't realize we'd get through all of them. Do you want to take some time so I can download some more? Or shall we just call it? We're 10 minutes away from the end of a meeting. Could just end.
We could what just end. Doing? I'm proposing we end.
Can I ask a comment?
I'm in charge. No, I'm just... Bye, Thomas.
Process comment quick. When that last conversation around, like, stating this is a personal opinion or I'm representing whatever you wrote, and we wrote that into this document, like, is it trying to think of the intent of the document? And it, like, if somebody doesn't do that,
you mean like someone will be liable?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of, like, it almost, what we just discussed almost sounds like a best practice. Like, it would be ideal if members stated their lens when they're speaking on a topic, but I'm also don't want us to get like, oh, you didn't do that, and now you're going up to membership for not following the policy. And are we creating that kind of with this terminal? Yeah. Does that make sense?
Not really, because I can barely hear what you were saying.
Wonder what's going on. Okay, I'm going to try. Sorry, I'm going to try taking off my headset.
But I do think we got the gist of it. You know, this is just our policy. I'm not sure we need to, like, put in potential, like, punitive measures. I mean, it's just the policy now of, like, just, you know, know that government appointees are speaking on behalf of their of whoever they're representing, and otherwise they should say that this is their opinion. Thomas, you actually do this.
Yeah, I would say, can you hear me a little bit better?
Yeah, I would say that Bill does this also very carefully, even though he's not a voting member. So to me, this is right, not really a tall ask or a stretch. It's actually putting into writing what we already do.
I don't think I have opposition to the spirit. I'm just wondering, is this where it lies to, like, is this where people look to enforce this using this document?
Possibly. I mean, it might need enforcement. If we get someone else in, say, who is not as careful as you and Bill is, like, let's say we get a new CHEP rep, who sharing their opinion a lot, but they're sharing it in a way that actually makes it seem like they have the full force of CHEP behind them, when it's clearly their opinion. And honestly, I have come across different government reps who have been like this. Then this is actually a good tool to be like, well, you know, you really need to delineate between what you're saying as far as what is like, what are your thoughts, and like what your department actually is saying. And that has happened. That actually has happened back in our more contentious days. And I certainly have experienced that in other kinds of meetings as well. So I think it's a good tool. It's a tool that we have no need to use right now, because we have a lot of, I think we have appointed seat members who really understand, you know, on an implicit level, like what this means. So yeah, but you know, as you're saying, like worst case scenario, then yeah, it should be used as a tool. That's what policies are for.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Kind of what I was asking.
Yeah.
So I think we are coming to the end of the meeting. Our next meeting is going to be, our next steering is going to be May 15th. But please don't forget about the full council, which is coming, not this coming Monday, but the next Monday. I don't have the date in front of me.
So oh, and also just a little bit of a reminder too, that for May, we're meeting a week early. Okay.
All right. Thank you. It's nice to see you, everyone. Take care.
Kira, bye. And Kat, can you stay afterwards briefly?